Welcome to The Pursuit of Purpose, a podcast made possible by SkyLife Success, a SkyPass Group company. Join Krish Dunham, an author and speaker whose messaging has been described as the junction where God's ability and man's availability meet hope's accessibility.
Greetings, dear friends. Hope you are doing well wherever in the world you are. Welcome to another episode of The Pursuit of Purpose. This is Krish Dunham, your humble host, today coming to you from my office in Dallas, Texas. Obviously, the number of times we've been able to engage on this medium has become sporadic, and in past, my excuse was that the schedule has intensified, taking me across the globe, and that excuse, I guess, is as valid today as it was when I first made it. But since we last communicated, I've had the privilege of being in North Carolina at a men's retreat, after which we went away to Canada and spent some time north of Toronto in a place called the Muskoka Bible Center, which if you have the privilege of visiting either as a guest or want to conduct an event there, I'm not a paid spokesperson for them. But it was one of the more serene and pleasant experiences in the recent past. Obviously, having my bride with me was a general boon. Canada is opening up in different ways because of the need there, and I hope that we attract new people to listen to the podcast from there. My podcast is not traditional in the sense that I'm trying to monetize it in any way. I don't. We tried that at one time, but then I figured out that, you know, it was more of a headache trying to deal with the rules and regulations that come with other people advertising on your medium. And I thought it would be better just to have a straightforward, transparent, clear conversation with those that intend to follow, not wanting to grow it to the degree where I would now have to react. I can just be proactive and respond whenever I choose to have a message that is pertinent for those of you that are sweet enough to send emails. And thank you for the feedback on the last message of Wake Up. As I was contemplating what to share with you today, I thought, you know, let me try to break it up into three distinct parts so that I'm not rushed and I can actually do justice to each one. I titled this message, The Medicine for Misery. The Medicine for Misery. It is almost as if today the victimization of society is such at an all-time high that there is a prevailing monopoly on misery. Everywhere you turn, every channel you flip, everything you scroll, every post you see, has some amount of victimhood blatantly built into it and some desire for restitution or reparation from somebody who conducted the wrong. History is now replete with examples of people who are desperately trying to rectify their past that they had no part in. They are trying to ask for recompense for a past that they did not live, and in the process are sacrificing their present in the mire and muck of misery because they feel somebody owes them something. When you go down that path of honestly believing to the very core of your being that somebody owes you something, the first thing that leaves the window of possibility and leaves the arena of probability is the very word dignity. Dignity is a prerequisite for any kind of discipline. Dignity is a preamble to work ethic. Dignity is a precursor to loyalty. Every attribute of human existence begins with the belief that there is fundamental dignity in your created being as someone who was ordained in the image of God, given his intellect, and made in his likeness. Now, whether you subscribe to the Judeo-Christian aspect of it or not, everybody who has a worldview of any concept is trying to find purpose in their existence, either through penance, either through participation, either through pilgrimage, or either through prayer. But in the process, a human dignity can only be acquired if we even remove the faith element. If people are able to look in the mirror and say, I am not responsible for my heritage, but I am accountable for my future. The number one rule in creating a dosage of medicine for the misery you're in may be stop digging. There are two other principles we'll share in as time permits in the days ahead, and the other was, second would be stop deflecting, and the third would be stop distorting. And I guess if I had time to reflect, I can probably add more to that issue. But what does it mean to stop digging? Look around you and ask yourself. An exercise I have done in the corporate realm for many, many years was very simple. I asked people to take a sheet of paper, on it write down the word capability. I would then ask them to trace over the letter CAP in the word capability, since, and to a point where that particular word, cap, was more emboldened than the rest of the word in capability. So the first three letters of the word capability are CAP, which is cap. And if you trace over those letters, you basically get an emboldened cap on the sheet of paper. And the question I posited to the audience, always through some kind of consternation initially, but then a commitment later on, was asking yourself at the end of the day, using that same sheet of paper and writing, how many self-imposed caps have I put on my own ability? How many self-imposed caps have I put on my own ability? The answer, if it is honest, the response, if it has integrity, should confuse you a little bit, baffle you considerably, and confound you tremendously. When you come to the realization that a lot of what you feel, the angst you display, the depth of despondence that you constantly feel yourself surrounded by, a majority of it may be self-inflicted. No, I'm not a clinical psychologist or some kind of a trained therapist. I'm just a motivational speaker and an evangelist who tries to deal with the logic of motivation and go through the lens of the logic of the laws of logic, basically stating to myself and to everybody who would listen that there is something called the law of non-contradiction. So two things cannot be right if they're in the same relationship and exactly have the opposite in the meaning you intend to. For example, I'm a first-generation migrant to the United States. They want me to have a moniker of Indian American or whatever, but the word Indian has a different connotation here because of the construct of the Native American Indian. The other side is, well, you're considerably brown, you'll never be American. Well, America was never a race, America was an ideal. Most of our antiques are plastic, and everybody can go back three generations and find somebody who came in on a boat. It is the youngest of all civilizations with most of its graces inherently borrowed. But we do not want to read the Constitution that framed this country, the Bill of Rights that gave us the dignity of who we are when we try to interpret the Declaration, the Constitution that men signed and framed and tried to make a charter for a nation. We don't read any of that because we begin with the fundamental belief, and this is the digging needs to stop, that those people had bad motives. They were very wealthy. They looted the people who were natives. They brought people over on ships who made them work the plantations. And you can go ad nauseum down that path. Now, I was never a byproduct of any oppression in the West, but I grew up in some kind of abject poverty, if there seems to be a moniker of it. But we had love. We didn't have a lot of belongings around us, but we had that continuity that was given to us, the continuity of purpose. But let me give you an illustration that says stop digging. I remember one day my father worked for an American company, so we were considered privileged by Indian standards to be living alongside Americans in what was technically an expat colony in the heart of India. If you created a ruckus like that or an environment like that today, you would be branded racist and bigoted. Of course, Indians' national companies, most of them are nationalized now. But we had a lot of foreign investment in India post-1947. Caltex was an American corporation that had set up there. We had a lot of white American entrepreneurs, along with people from other countries who came to work in a refinery, where my father was a shift foreman, but he was also considered an officer category. So we got to live in this upper scale environment access to a club, access to a swimming pool, access to friends who would regale us of stories of the West. And we were sent to get education. It was almost a demand that we were sent to certain schools so we could fit into the culture of this colony. Today, every one of those things would be parsed and they would dig a depth of 1,000 qualifications. But I remember one day we were watching a movie and my father's boss was sitting in front of him, and he was a very strict man, a very strict disciplinarian, of course, white, was watching an English movie like No Disturbances. Like many, he felt that, you know, he was probably brought there as a general manager because of his capability, but then, you know, may have had some amount of power or prejudice built in inherently because a bunch of natives were working for him. If we had gone down that path of victimization, I don't think my father would have gotten past being a shift foreman, or I would have gotten to where I am with the education and the purpose he eventually gave me. But I remember watching that movie one day, and I was crunching a potato chip. And as the crunch of the potato chip could be heard, my father's boss turned one row behind, or turned his eyes to the row behind where I was sitting with my dad in this club that was pretty much a very upscale club that was designed for the so-called expats living there. And when that man turned and made eyes at me, there's a different story where my brother got punished for something else, but I remember my father looking at me and telling me to stop crunching the potato chip and making a noise that was disturbing his boss. I looked at my father with all the innocence that can come. I was probably 5, 6, maybe even 7, and said, "Pop, it's just a chip. It is going to crunch." I'll never forget the words my father gave me. My father, of course, is, I'll maybe allude to that a little later. But when my father looked at me, he said, "Suck on it till it stops making noise." And I thought to myself as I've narrated this story, man, can you imagine the rally cry and the cry today if somebody who was white and in a position of power turned to a brown Indian man who was his subordinate, whose son had just crunched a potato chip and kind of upset the ambiance of the moment, and the father then looks at the son and says, "Suck on it till it makes no noise." And everybody went away feeling okay. Nothing was vilified. That man finished his tenure, probably retired, has probably expired and gone to meet his maker. My father is now 89. We laugh at these instances because they built in us a discipline saying, when in doubt, the medicine for misery is stop digging. I could have said, well, it's just a potato chip. Maybe I'll eat one and make less of a sound. Maybe I'll just go somewhere else and eat it and make all the sound I want. You guys are nothing but elitists. I could have gone through 1,000 different things and I would have been right in every one of those situations. But the easiest option that day was to suck on it till it made no sound. I did not end up on the streets of anywhere chastising people. I didn't go stand in front of the British or the American embassy and talk about the perils of colonialism. I didn't do any of that stuff. My father was not miserable. My father was a member, actually seconded and nominated by two very prestigious people to a country club that my father is still a member of. And when you look at all of those things that have transpired since then, we've had many such illustrations. So if you're looking at your world today and you ask yourself, if you feel the weight of the world and this misery on your shoulder and this chip that someone has put you down, maybe the time is to stop digging into the past and ask yourself, I am not responsible for what happened. Folks, I don't blame myself one bit for the potato chip excuse or the episode. I don't blame my father for the way he reacted. Heck, I don't even blame his white boss for turning around and saying, hey, all I get is a little bit of peace in the evening watching an English movie that has been sent over for the United States primarily for my entertainment, and you're a byproduct of that entertainment. I don't fault anybody for any of this. Now, I granted other people have been looked at differently. Their prejudice may be more vociferous. The way they were treated may have been more horrendous. The conditions of their ancestry may have been more troublesome. But where you are today, ask yourself, is any weight of that on your shoulder? Is any of that your burden to solve? Or are you going to provide for your children, provide for your intellect, provide for your happiness, and look at the misery in your life and say, what is the medicine for my misery? And so the first thing I want to posit is, no matter where you are in this world, no matter what you're struggling with, no matter how bad things are, first thing, stop digging. Stop digging, because what you uncover may not actually be a solution. It may be an augmented problem you never thought of. Now you got two problems because you didn't stop digging, and you got no solution because you didn't start preparing. So the first preference, or the first preparation I want to give you, is just a simple, humble edict. Again, I'm not clinically portraying this. I'm not a theologian. I'm not a counselor of any kind. I'm just a motivational speaker who asks myself, how did I get this far as a communicator when I landed in this country? I had an accent and all of that. I don't go around calling myself an Indian American, an East Indian American, the original Indian American. I call myself an American because that's what my passport says. Other people may say, hey, you're not an American if you're not white. You're not an American if you were born here. Well, bully for you. Nowhere in the world has it been told that I can't call myself that. By the same token, if you're upset by it, that's your problem, not mine. I'm going to call myself what I think I have earned the right to call myself. It's the passport that identifies me. It's the driver's license that liberates me. And it's the ability to vote that confronts me. So hopefully this little quasi-political, quasi-anthropological, quasi-historical look into what is the medicine for misery. The first is stop digging. We'll talk about stop deflecting and stop distorting in the days ahead. But until next time, good luck, God bless, and we'll see you down the road.
And that concludes another episode of The Pursuit of Purpose with Krish Dunham, brought to you by Skylife Success. Please subscribe, rate, and visit us on the web at krishdunham.com and skylifesuccess.com, where you can find our social media links and access to additional resources. Till next time, happy learning and happy living.